You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth. Welcome, welcome to Winning with Mainstay and Anna Lee and Bob. Good to have you here this morning. I don't know about where you are, but it's pretty doggone cloudy out there today. Big storms went through last night. So stay safe today if you're on the roads. Most of us have been home quite a bit. So, you know, if you're home, don't slip, okay? Take care of yourself. So, Mr. Bob, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you, Anna Lee?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing good. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm sequestered from the entire world. I get to see everybody once or twice a week, which is, you know, so different for me, but getting a lot of work done. I mean, it's the pace has stayed the same. It's just different not having the socialization. And, you know, Bob gets me. Different environment. And I know you get mad at me because I keep the dogs here with me and you don't get to see them. But, yeah, sorry about that. They stay with their mommy.
Yeah. You know. Just leave the dogs and you can go home.
No. And Lance is too young to drive, so I'm not putting him out on the highways, you know. So let's welcome to our presentation today. And listen, if you have questions, if you want to make a comment, call us or text us at 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. Or if you have a private question you want to ask Bob or I, or you want to set up a time to come see us, call the office, 437-3127. Kristen will get you set up and we'll talk to you and see what we can do to help. We've had a tremendous amount of virtual appointments. We are doing face-to-face with a mask. That is a requirement in the office. We're trying to protect each other as well as all of our clients. So it is a move because we care about everybody else, not just because we're trying to protect ourselves. So please understand that. If you don't want to wear the mask, just don't come to the office. We'll do it virtually. So today we're going to talk about some things. You know, Bob and I, you've heard us, gosh, how often, Bob, we talk about Roth conversions and what a great thing they are and go out and do a Roth and this is how you do it and yada, yada, yada. But there are times when we shouldn't.
Exactly. And we've hit the other side hard. We always talk about the virtues of doing a Roth conversion and everybody gets all excited and, you know, and up until the end of the year is when you can do it. But I think we need to examine the pitfalls of doing it and possibly choosing not to do it.
Correct. Correct. Because there, you know, and how often has everybody heard me say, besides the fact you got to have a plan, there are two sides to every coin. And you have to consider both positive and negative before you make your personal decision. Because something is good for me, it might not be good for Bob. Because it's good for Bob, it might not be good for our client, Mr. Joe Smith. So you really have to be careful with that. So let's talk about, you know, the Roth, great, great deal because you pay taxes today when taxes are still on sale. Later on, when you go to take the money out, no tax. But what would be one of the first reasons, Bob, that someone would not want to do a Roth conversion?
Right. And we talk about this a lot. If your if your tax bracket or your tax liability in future years is going to be lower than it is now, and we often talk about the you know, say the 62-year-old retiree who may or may not have a pension, but the pension doesn't begin until 65, is choosing to take Social Security at 66 in whatever months, or possibly age 67 or 70. But they have mm-hmm. this window of time between when they retire, you know, when they're making money, and before they start receiving Social Security and their pension. What a great time for those couple of years to convert your traditional IRA to a Roth, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and it's because the tax bracket might be lower in the future. So don't
right.
take
but
it.
If,
don't go
but
ahead.
If your taxes are going to be higher in the future,
are the same.
Okay. And yeah, or the same. It might not be a good mm-hmm. idea. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, and one of the things I wanted to say at the beginning of the show, I think we can say this without fail. We're talking about Roth conversions and prepaying the income tax, really. We are not mm-hmm. talking about contributing to a Roth, because I think I can say, and you can say this, Annalee, it's almost always a good time to contribute to a Roth IRA. It's not always a good time to convert to a Roth IRA.
That is correct. And again,
right.
remember, you have to have a JOB to be able
right.
to contribute.
Yes.
Now, you can convert whether you have a job or not. And, you know, they've changed the rules on us where now, as long as you have a job, as long as you have earned income, you are able to contribute to an IRA, whether it be a traditional or a Roth, or if you're still working and you have a 401k, you can continue
right.
to contribute no matter how long you have that job. So they took away that age limit. So, and mm-hmm. right now, I think judging tax brackets is really very difficult to do.
Right.
You know, we're not quite sure of where the tax brackets are going to go, but it's kind of like the writing is on the wall that you're pretty sure that the taxes are going to go up. I think it's going to be incremental. I don't think it's going to be huge jumps at one time. And
right.
I think they're going to try to kind of protect those of us in those middle and lower tax brackets. So if
right.
if you're working this year and you're making, let's say, $70,000 and your spouse is making $50,000, that puts you in one arena. But let's say next year you're both going to stop and you're only on Social Security. So you're together, let's say, making $30,000. That certainly has put you in a lower tax bracket.
Exactly.
You know, so look at that. What is your tax bracket going to be a year from now, 2 years from now? It might save you a lot of money to do that conversion if you wait a little while. And that goes back to the other
right.
thing we always talk about, Bob, is the importance of working with a team. Your financial advisor,
sure.
your tax advisor, and you need to make that decision together.
Right. Right. And I like, you know, throwing a few numbers out, because I think a lot of people can identify
mm-hmm.
with this. But if you're a married couple and you and your spouse are making $100,000 a year gross
mm-hmm.
income, you get a $25,100 standard deduction. Now, that
mm-hmm.
that comes right off the top. And whatever you're contributing to your 401k, your 403b, or whatever qualified plan, or whatever, you know, else might come off of that, that gets you immediately down in the 70s as far as taxable income. That puts
mm-hmm.
you in the 12% tax bracket. It might be a good time to use the rest of that 12% to do a Roth conversion. So, but on the other hand, if your income is going to be higher, okay, And, if it's going to be higher, it might be a good time. But if it's going to be lower in future years, and that's what we're hitting on in this, mm-hmm. In this segment, if it's going to be lower, it's better to wait. And,
right.
One other thing, the example is, if somebody is moving from, say, the Northeast, and the example they give is New Jersey. New Jersey is not the highest. California is the highest. But New Jersey has a high state income tax.
Right.
My sister and brother-in-law live in New Jersey. They pay 7% in state income taxes. And, of course, you know, when they talk about it, yeah, it's not that high. It's not that high. Well, you know what? It is. It's a mm-hmm. lot of money. And
it's
and
high
if
compared
you are planning,
to zero.
Yeah, it's very high. But, you know, it's kind of, if you've always paid it, you don't know any different, right? So,
yes.
But, you know, for someone like that, and they do plan to move to Florida when they retire, that's a much better time to do a conversion when they're mm-hmm. not paying that punitive
additional
state income tax.
Tax
in New Jersey. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So all those things we have to think about. And then the other, now again, what we're talking about today is reasons why you may not want to do a Roth conversion. So if you have a question or you want to make a comment, either call us or text us at 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you because this is a big mistake that people will make sometime. Now, this is another one I go round and round with people with. They say, well, we're going to do a conversion, and I just want to take the money out of my IRA to pay the taxes. Well, don't do that. You should have cash to pay the tax on the conversion. So that would be something right. like if you had a CD sitting there that had been there for 5 years and it's not making you any money. It's just sitting there, you keep rolling it over. And it's amazing how many people we meet that do that. But that's dead money. That's good money to take to pay the tax right. that the IRA conversion will generate. Because what happens if they take from the IRA, Bob?
Now well, if what? You take it from your IRA, you're taking money you're using to pay taxes that is actually getting taxed itself.
Right.
It creates a circular calculation where you have. So in the end, let's say, and I think examples are a great way to demonstrate this. If mm-hmm. you have if you're in the 22% tax bracket, well, let's go with 20. But if there's 20% taken out and you need $20,000, you're going to take $25,000 out. Well, guess what?
Right.
That $25,000 is all taxable, even the $5,000 you used to pay the taxes or have withheld.
Right.
So it's
right.
it's very tough to see your way through of taking that money out. So you again, this is where we tell you. Consult with your tax advisor, certainly your investment advisor, and, you know, make the right decision for that year.
Well, and you know, besides the fact that it becomes convoluted, you now have less money in the IRA. So,
right.
you know, now you're saying, okay, I had a $100,000 IRA, now I have a $75,000 Roth. It's got to have mm-hmm. a lot of growth in it to catch up. So if you can
right.
convert the entire 100, pay the taxes from elsewhere,
right.
you know, it's a good thing. But if you've got to take the money, we actually lost a client that way. Well, he was a potential and he had a pretty big TSP. And I told him, I said, you know, this is just not a good idea. It's not something that you should do. So he found someone who would do it for him, who didn't care whether it was the right or the right. wrong thing to do. But, you know, if it's not the right thing for you to do, we're going to tell you that, and we're going to send you a way to think about it. I mean,
yeah.
it's your money. Ultimately, you have the decision. But, you know, we're not just going to say, oh, yeah, if that's what you want to do, let's do it. We've got to give you all of the pros and cons. So we got to be careful about that. Now, the other thing we've got to consider, too, if you're taking cash out of that IRA to pay the taxes, what happens if you're under 59 and a half, Bob?
You get to pay a penalty, and it's 10%. Also,
an extra 10%. I mean, why would anybody say, oh, gosh, yeah, I enjoy paying tax so much, I'm going to pay an extra 10%.
Right.
I've never done that. Have you?
No, never. And we've never advised that somebody do that. But again, it's always better to pay the tax liability with non-qualified money. Don't use the money inside the IRA to pay it. That will also be taxed, and then you'll possibly have to go back and get some more out of the IRA. So one other thing I want to point out, and this is something we run into often, we know that retirees, they like cash. They like cash in the bank. And how often do we see where, you know, let's say they have $20,000, $25,000, even north of that amount, and they will take distributions from their IRA, and they're permissive. They're not 72 yet or 70 and a half back in the day. And they will take money out, and we're kind of like, look, don't do that. You've got cash. You're paying taxes on every penny that you draw out of there. And, you know, we try to, you know, just kind of pump the brakes a little bit and you know, advise them not to. But, you know, they get used to that money, and then it builds up. That 20 becomes $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, and they still don't turn it off. But we always tell them, you know, think of this IRA as your savings account. We can pull money out anytime, but you're going to pay taxes on it.
You're right. So. Exactly. So, you know, I don't know about you, and I've said this often, I believe in taxes. I pay my fair share. But notice the terminology I just used, my fair share. I don't want to pay more than I have to. I mean, I would rather have the dollars that I have that I can often support the charities that I support. Mm-hmm. So don't be overly generous. I see that we have a caller, or is it a text?
We have a caller. It's Larry from Pensacola.
Hi, Larry. Good morning.
Well, good morning. And I'm afraid I call more often probably than it's not my fair share. But just a
oh,
real
no,
quick question.
We
and
love you.
You're mighty sweet. I don't think I've asked this before, and maybe I have, but I've forgotten the answer. 74, and still have a small business that I have earned income. And, I mean, I've discussed it with my wife. I guess argue might be another way to put it, too, the idea of, you know, putting it in a Roth. But I'm just not sure that at our age that we're going to get, you know, it'd be great, I guess, to pass it on to our kids. But the idea of us benefiting from it, I don't know. I mean, of course, the problem with the CD is, you know, we're talking about 0.7 or 0.5. We're talking about, you know, might as well keep it in the, under the pillow. But is it smart at that age to get involved in a Roth or not?
That's a good question, Larry, and thank you for calling in and bringing that up. Age is to be considered when you're doing a conversion. And here are the things you want to think about. You know, what is your basic health like? So if health is good and you have a good idea of longevity, it might be a very good thing to do. If health is not good, then you pretty well know you're doing this strictly as a gift to children. Now, you know, that brings us to the next point of making a conversion. If you think you're going to need that money right away, you really need to think about whether you should convert or not. So if you think, you know, so if you think, oh gosh, I'm going to close my business down next year, and at that point I got to start drawing out of the IRA for survival of the household, we've got to have the additional income. Oh, gosh, probably not a good idea because and Bob, you tell me your opinion on this, but the general rule, once you're past 59 and a half, is if you have ever had a Roth, that first Roth you have counts as the five-year waiting period once you pass 59 and a half, so you don't have to wait 5 years per conversion. However, if you're going to pay those taxes up front, and I always tell everybody this, forget the five-year rule. If you're going to pay the taxes, you've got to let that money have time to grow back to pay the taxes that you paid plus a profit, which is probably more like 6 or 7 years.
What do you think, Bob?
Yeah.
It's, well, I think, number one, it's a very tough call. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tough call at 74. And I think Larry even alluded to that, you know, it's great to do it earlier, but possibly never too late. You just need to consider everything. But as far as converting, first and foremost, you know, what is your income? What is your income right here and now? Because that's whatever amount you convert is going to be added to that amount.
There's so many moving parts to this, Larry.
Let me interject one thing real quick, and I just everything you. But now, a little bit different now, the angle I'm coming from, I've still got earned income. I'm 74, not much, part-time venture, but it's earned income. I mean, is it smart at my age to, see, I guess this maybe comes, you know, maybe it's the whole idea of putting in the stock market at this point, or just let's go with a CD and, you know, just be sure we've got our principal. But is it, I mean, it's a Roth at my age, and I've got, let's call it $10,000 or $12,000 a year. I mean, I know I'm limited. I have 7,500, but then my wife, I think, can also. But should I even consider a Roth new investment now with earned income at my age?
And I think the point that Bob is making, Larry, is there is no definitive yes, no to that. So it would be something where we'd have to sit with you, or your advisor needs to sit with you and think about what is your income now? How would this affect your income? When are you going to need to take money out of the IRA? So then is it justifiable? I have had people do Roth conversions in their 80s because they're not going to need that money, and they want to leave a tax-free gift to the children. So they have done that. I've had others convert at their 80s because they are very, very healthy. They know that right now tax bracket is low. They want to take advantage of that because they're not planning to access this money for a good 8 to 10 years down the line. And again, remember, when you're doing a conversion, it doesn't mean you have to convert the entire IRA. You might want to do bits and pieces of it. But to say yes or no at 74, there is no yes, no answer to that. I wish it was that simple. It would make my answer so much easier, it would make the approach so much easier, and it would mean that I wouldn't have to go sit in front of Ed Slott every year and let him fry my brain for 2.5 days to keep up with the laws.
Right.
So I'm not being elusive. I'm just trying to make sure you understand there is no yes, no. You've got to sit down with the whole outlook and then be able to say, Larry, great idea. Or Larry, gosh, I wish we'd have done this 5 years ago. It would have been great. But now for you, it isn't. You know, it's not really an age thing. There's so many other things that are involved. We're going to have to go and listen to some news. If you have more questions, Larry, call us back, please. I'd love to hear more from you. So, Mr. Mark, we got some good stuff.
There is a renewed effort to ban assault-style weapons in Florida. We'll have that story coming up after Fox News.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. Former President Trump's second impeachment trial set to begin a short while from now, starting with a debate over the trial itself. Republican Senator John Kennedy telling Fox,
"The constitutionality of this has been well discussed. It's dubious at best."
Fox's Griff Jenkins reports.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's crucial to hold Trump accountable.
Senators will decide on the one true question at stake in this trial. Is Donald Trump guilty of inciting a violent mob against the United States?
And hiring plunged in December, according to a Labor Department report out, which said it was cut 6.6% in December to 5.5 million. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 61 and cloudy. I'm Mark Jacobs. Programming note, we will have live coverage of the former president's second impeachment trial starting at noon today. A Florida lawmaker renews an effort to ban assault-style weapons in the Sunshine State.
State Representative Carlos Smith filed House Bill 653 for the 2021 legislative session, the fifth time he's attempting to ban the type of weapons and high-capacity magazines used in the Pulse nightclub and Parkland school shootings. The Orlando Democrat says the bill would prevent more innocent lives from being taken in another Florida mass shooting. An identical bill has been filed in the state Senate. I'm Rick Hochul.
Two Escambia County teens charged with burglary and criminal mischief. February 7th, ECSO deputies called to an active burglary in process at Pensacola State College campus in Century. Deputies heard glass breaking inside and saw a suspect throw a fire extinguisher through a glass window. Deputies arrested a 16-year-old as well as 18-year-old Joshua McCall. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms will start to end as we head into the late afternoon. For today, we will be seeing mostly cloudy skies, that high near 68 degrees. As we head overnight, about a 20% chance of showers after midnight, patchy fog, otherwise cloudy with a low near 61. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
61 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with your Money Now. Stocks are pulling back from record highs. The Dow Industrials down 87 at 31,297. The Nasdaq's down 2, the S&P 500 off 11. This might not be what you'd expect during a pandemic-fueled recession, but Americans started a record number of small businesses in 2020. Nearly 4.5 million business applications were filed last year, an increase of 24% from the year before. Recessions typically see a drop in business formation as personal assets are wiped out. The family of a novice stock trader who killed himself after mistakenly believing he lost more than $700,000 are suing Robinhood Financial, claiming the popular stock trading platform's business practices directly led to their son's death. The complaint seeks unspecified damages on behalf of the parents and sister of Alex Kearns for wrongful death, negligent infliction of emotional distress, and unfair business practices. Kearns, a student, was 20 when he took his life last June. That's your Money Now.
Hello, I'm Marissa Jarrett Winoker. Performing on stage takes mental and physical preparation. But one thing I never thought to prepare for was cervical cancer. 91% of cervical cancers are caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. One in every four Americans is infected with HPV. For many people, the virus hides inside them and they never develop symptoms. But for others, HPV links directly to cancer. My cancer almost ended my career. It almost ended me. The good news is there are vaccines that can protect you or your children from cancer. The HPV vaccine is recommended for children 11 to 12 years old, and a catch-up vaccine may be an option for teens and young adults. Talk to your doctor. You don't want HPV hiding inside of you. Go to thinkaboutthelink.org to learn more. Together, we can stop cancer before it starts.
Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time
they stay there. And they stay there.
Mainstay and Bob and Anna Lee. You know, I am not a big football person. I hate to say that out loud because then people go, ew, what's wrong with her? But I'm not. I'm just not, okay? But I do hope that all of you notice during the football game, they played my song. I don't know if you
noticed. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
They
that's
played
right.
my
song.
That is song. Your song. And it was like, oh my gosh, how did they even know about me that they're doing this in the middle of the football game? Okay. But I got to tell you what I did enjoy the most about Sunday. And for those of you who don't watch it, on the Animal Planet, before the Super Bowl takes place, there is the Puppy Bowl. And the Puppy Bowl is the cutest thing you have ever seen in your life.
Goodness.
And I've got to tell you, we have Lance on film watching the Puppy Bowl. I kid you not. He is sitting up and he's watching the dogs run back and forth. And then when they started growling at each other, he starts to stand up and growl too. He enjoyed it as much as I did. So, you know, and then
that's precious.
You know, that to me is the highlight of that whole Sunday. But anyway, I digress, which I can very easily when I talk about dogs. So we'll get back to what we're talking about here, okay? So welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Bob and Annalie. And we're talking about the whole idea of times you should not do a Roth conversion, because, you know, we do a lot of talking about, oh yeah, think about doing a conversion, think about doing a conversion. Well, there are times when you probably should not do one. So if you have a question or a comment, and even if it's not on the topic, call us please at 437-1620 or send a text over. We'd love to hear from you. So we've gone through some of the things, of course, having to do with taxes and where you're going to be. But here's another one. A lot of people give their IRAs to charity, or during the years, instead of doing required minimum distributions, they do what we call a qualified charitable distribution. So the money goes to the charity. Because it's a charity, they don't have to pay any tax on it. And you don't have to count it as income. So you're getting an advantage, and the charity's getting an advantage. But if you plan on leaving the entire thing to a charity, maybe we don't want to do a conversion.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
You know, because the charity, unless they ever change this, and I don't think they will. What is that code, Bob? Do you know right off your head that they get a
code?
Yeah, for charitable organizations. I
can't
remember. 501c3. Thank you. Big
501c3 entities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. And of course, that the most highly appreciated assets are the ones that have the most income tax liability, like an IRA, are the best choices for charitable gifting. And I'm always surprised at how many people make gifts in the form of cash, especially substantial gifts, when they have highly appreciated assets or very large IRAs. So, yeah, certainly something to think about. The other thing that I wanted to mention, Annalie, is with our caller, Larry, who's, I believe he said he's 74, married.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to talk about, you know, Larry like this, but, you know, 15, 20 years from now, Larry and his wife may not be around. And then it goes to the kids. And then there is in place now a 10-year rule where they have to take all of the money out of the IRAs. And that they have inherited. And the elimination of the stretch IRA has really been a game changer for how to plan with IRAs.
Yeah, and that's true. So if we can do the conversion ourselves and pay the taxes, it could be much better for the heirs in how it's left. Now, if on the same note, let's say the beneficiary is going to be in a lower tax bracket, and we deal with this a lot. We have one child who is a physician and makes an awfully lot of money in a very high tax bracket. You have another child who barely makes it, and you know, that child may be the child that it would be good to leave the IRA to, because they'll be in a lower tax bracket, even though they've got to take it out in 10 years. It would be lower for them instead of giving that to the doctors. So, you know, give the doctor something else. You know, this, if you want to consider, who am I leaving this to? You know, maybe another reason to say, well, maybe I should not do a conversion of my traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. So who are you going to leave it to, and what is their situation?
Right.
That's a good thing to think about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what about if the estate just isn't large enough? I mean,
right.
Maybe it's not worth doing it. It might not make sense. You got to pay the taxes from assets, so you're going to reduce the size of your estate. So, you know, again, and that to me is what's frustrating about all of this. There is no yes, no answer.
Right.
You got to sit down and you got to run the numbers for each person to see if it's worth it for them to do it or not.
Right. There are so many moving parts, so many variables. Mm-hmm. You have to collect them all, sort them out, and make a decision from there. It is not, and I think the example with Larry really pointed this out. It is not just what you think your taxable income is going to be. It's age. It's what is the new legislation, the new tax laws? Who are the beneficiaries after you or after you and your spouse? Are they children? It might be a charitable entity, as we said, a 501c3. That's a game changer.
Right.
So we've got to collect all the facts, sort them out, and then we can make an informed decision.
And I think it goes back to what we've said very often, Mug. The earlier you do this, the easier it is to make the decision. Yes, this is good, or might not be. More mature we become, the harder it is to decide whether we should do this or not. Because one of the other challenges that people very often face as they get older are medical expenses. And sometimes as we age, those medical expenses get pretty doggone high. So what's my advantage, Bob, if I take money out of the IRA to pay my medical expenses?
Well, you get a deduction, and
hello.
You know, to the extent it exceeds 1% of your adjusted gross income, and that has fallen. Mm-hmm. You know, that it hasn't been all over the place, but let's say it's somewhere around what is it now, Annalee? The floor.
Well, it was 10, and I think they dropped it to 7, but don't 7. Hold my feet to the fire on that.
Right. To the extent your adjusted gross income exceeds, But that's something to think about. You want to receive the tax benefit of paying the medical expenses. And if you don't have taxable income, in other words, if you're not taking it from an IRA, a pension, Social Security, you can't deduct it. So that may be another reason not to convert your traditional IRA to a Roth IRA.
And we got a text that came in, and this is so good. Thank you for texting this in. The text says, I am a pastor, and I have been advised to not do a Roth since I will be able to claim my household allowance in retirement to help reduce the tax burden in retirement. And this is a great thing. So those of you who are out there who are pastors, who are church involved, you get what's called a parsonage. And that's a whole different aspect of what's out there that the rest of us don't get. So yes, I would agree with that. If you're a pastor and you have a parsonage allowance, which is tax-free, then you know what you're taking out, you're going to be able to get some claiming of household allowance on that. But you're, you know, that definite little minority segment that's out there. I wish we had more of you, but, you know, we need some people with good level heads in this world. But that's a very good thing. And thank you for bringing that up. We could make that number nine reason not to convert your IRA to a Roth. You know, so yes, thank you. Thank you for doing that one.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, yeah. you're different. Nothing wrong with being different.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, there are lots of reasons. There are lots of reasons to convert, and there are lots of reasons not to convert. And you have to look at everything. And I think the big ones are very obvious, you know, having to do with taxes, but yes. There are other reasons too. And I think we've covered a lot of them, but, you know, everybody's different and,
right.
You know, we embrace that and that's why you need to come in to get, to have everything looked at and have a solution provided for your unique set of circumstances.
And that's the whole thing. And, you know, reason number eight kind of goes back to Larry. And again, please, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, call us or text us 437-1620. Or you want to set up a time to visit with Bob or I, call the office 437-3127. And Kristen will be glad to set you up. We can do a Zoom. We can do a phone call. We are doing limited amount of face-to-face in the office. But again, if you come in the office, a mask is required at all times. That is for protection of all of our staff as well as other clients. So please understand that if you don't want to wear a mask, please do not come into the office. I know we're getting vaccinated now. I'm getting my second one tomorrow. I'm excited about it and a little bit nervous, but I'll let you know next week how it went. And I'll feel safer, but I tell you what, I will still wear a mask. And that will be, again, for protection of other people, as well as myself, because I might not get it, but maybe I could give it to somebody, and I don't want to do that. So
right.
Reason number eight, and again, I say this kind of goes back to Larry, because he mentioned he has a business. So if you have a business, it might not be a good time to do a conversion in case you have a business loss. And this right. kind of really came into play with COVID, because then if you have a business loss, you miss the ability to write off the tax impact of that loss, you know, plus the withdrawal. So it's kind of, you know, as much as I talk about Roth conversions, I'm very careful about them because I have a business. So if I have a profit, might not be a good year because then it puts me in a higher tax bracket. If I have a loss, might not be a good year because then I lose some of my write-off.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having a business, and as Larry said, a small business, you know, it's, you know, I would bet that it's a pass-through business, and you know the performance and the earnings of the business pass through to him. And if you're not able to use the business losses against your taxable income, then you know if you don't have that income anymore, that's that's more reason not to convert to a Roth.
Correct. Now, here's another thing, because we're talking about being, you know, at age 74, where you've got to take withdrawals. Please understand, if you have to take a required minimum distribution, you have to take the required minimum distribution out. That doesn't count. You know, as your rollover, that doesn't count. That is the required minimum distribution. That must be done before you do the rollover. You know, if you're doing a rollover, if you're doing a conversion, remember, you still have to do the required minimum distribution based on whatever was in there December the 31st, the year before you're making your distribution. So don't think if your balance, let's say, was $200,000 at the end of December of 2020, and you say, all right, I'm going to convert $100,000 in 2021, that now your required minimum distribution is based on $100,000. No, it's based on the $200,000. Right. What was in it December the 31st, the year before? So this is where I'm telling you, please get help, get advice on this. Be very, very careful about trying to do some of these things on your own, because you could wind up in pretty bad status. I was looking at something this morning I found extremely, extremely interesting, that the IRS has contracted, and they did this in 2017, they started contracting with private collection agencies to get taxes that had not been paid, or people that made big mistakes like we're talking about, okay?
Right.
They have collected $30 billion of back taxes that were owed. Now, I think, I think with everything that's going on now, and with the fact that we've got to start collecting tax money to replenish the coffers, I think they're really going to start going after people, because even though they've collected $30 billion, there's still a large amount of money out there that hasn't been paid. There are people that have a lot of misinformation. I've heard people say, oh, well, I'm this age, I don't have to file a tax return anymore. There's no such law.
Right.
There is no such law. I mean, you know, you may not have enough income to pay anything, but you still have to file your taxes. I mean,
right.
And I know you've heard that, Bob. Oh, Bob, I'm 75.
Oh, yes.
I don't have to file my tax returns anymore. No.
I have heard that. And how about this one? And I can say this as the father of five, you know. You know, and you'll hear this from your kids. You'll hear it from younger people. Well, I don't owe any taxes, so I don't have to file. Well, let me ask you something.
Right.
For all these people that don't owe taxes, what are the chances that it's a zero-sum game, that you paid in exactly the amount that was owed and you don't owe any more? Because guess what? If you don't owe any more, you're probably entitled to a refund, right?
Could be.
And they just don't file a tax return. But I can tell you that the chances of what you paid in your federal withholding equaling the exact amount that you owed for that year, or not having to owe any more, is almost zero. You just can't, you just can't come that close. So for all the people that don't owe taxes, you're probably entitled to a refund.
And think about this, you know, all these people that say, oh, I don't have enough money, or I haven't made enough money to file, I'm not going to file. And then all of a sudden you don't file 2, 3, 4 years and you file. That is the red flag for an audit.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
Who is this and where did they come from?
Yes. And for all the young people listening, because I'm hearing this a lot as well. Well, why didn't I get my stimulus money? You know,
mm-hmm.
You didn't file. What was the other thing? I think you just hit on it, Annalee. Oh, yeah. You go all these years without filing. Well,
yeah.
When you go to buy a house or you go to buy, do you think your lender just might ask for your tax return for the last 3 years? Because they will. And, just file your tax return. You're probably
mm-hmm.
going to get money back. Well, I know what I was going to ask. So when you have these people that say, I didn't make enough to have to file a return, I like saying this. Oh, really? Well, what is that amount? Oh, I don't
right.
know. I just know I didn't make
mm-hmm.
enough. You know, well, then how do you mm-hmm. know you didn't make enough? So anyway,
how do you know? And it goes right back to what we're talking about today, doing a Roth conversion. If you decide to do a Roth conversion and you haven't filed tax returns, how do you know how much tax you should be paying? And again, you have
right.
set up another red flag because you go 4 or 5 years, no taxes. Then you make a conversion and you send this much tax in to Uncle and they're saying, wait a minute. Did this person just crawl mm-hmm. out from under a rock? Have they been living in another
right.
universe? Who are they? Where are they? Let's go find
right.
out. You know, I don't know about
right.
you, but there are a couple of sets of people that I really don't want to play. I don't want to go in their playground. And one of those is the IRS. I just don't
right.
want to do that.
Yeah,
okay, we got another text that came in. Hang on. Let's see what this one is. Okay, pertaining to people who work after 65 and up, are they required to pay into Social Security or Medicare and et cetera? Yes. Yes. So if you're over 65 and you're still working, here's the great thing. They're still going to deduct out of your money for Social Security. They're still going to deduct out of your money for Medicare. But guess what you're doing? You're giving yourself a raise on Social Security
right.
because you're putting more money in. This is a good thing. I mean, Joan is still working. Joan gives herself a raise on Social Security every year because she's still putting money into the system. That's how your Social
right.
Security grows. It comes back to how much have you put in. So the
yeah.
answer on that is yes. So
yes.
don't be sad about
that.
Be that, glad.
And with that goes, do not take your Social Security if you're still working prior to age 70.
Prior to 70, because boy, you are really building it up. You're really building
right.
it up.
Right.
And, the more you can have of Social Security, the better off you're going to be during retirement, because it's such a nice cushion. And believe
right.
me, there's a big difference between $1,000 a month and $2,800, $3,000 a month. You can do a lot more with that amount of money because you know what doesn't go
exactly.
away? The taxes and the insurance. Please go out. Say please, thank you. Tell somebody they've done a good job. Let's make it a wonderful world.
What a wonderful world.